It's my pleasure to be invited to a room full of friends, actually. I've worked a long time with the corn growers here in Indiana, and we're very fortunate at Purdue University that the corn growers support some of our research, as well as other universities here in the Midwest. So what I'd like to talk about today is corn utilization and the impact of new technology for new uses. And I think that helps set the conference because the conference itself really will present some really interesting technologies. I saw bioproducts, new types of fermentations. The poster session tonight will discuss ethanol fermentations, but also new routes for making chemicals from corn, from starch, and also finding ways to protect the consumer by, for example, detecting mycotoxins and other rare events, anyhow, in corn, in order to make the product even more reliable than it has been in the past. And so what I'd like to do today, however, is talk about a little bit about new technology and how this might impact markets for corn by adding value using biotechnology, chemical technology, and some of the things we've learned from cellulose conversion. There we go. I'd like to acknowledge the Indiana Corn Growers and the Indiana Corn Marketing Board. I don't know if Ryan is here. I know Gary is here. And thank you very much. And also the National Corn Growers for that wonderful introduction. Really appreciate being invited to address this excellent group. Moscoma Corporation, they fund some of our research at Purdue University. And then also Purdue University itself. And some of my colleagues, Youngmi Kim, Eduardo Jimenez, and Nate Mosier have contributed to this presentation and will also be presenting at the poster session this evening and at one of the oral sessions tomorrow. U.S. agricultural productivity has gone up over the years. The inputs have stayed constant, and if you look at the output, the input, and the total factor productivity, it really shows us why research is so important and has been so successful in agriculture. We've increased the almost double, 2.5 times the productivity of agriculture. This is across all types of crops, yet the inputs have been at a constant. And I think it's like bringing coals to Newcastle. I'm bringing corn to the Indiana and National Corn Growers, so I feel a little bit embarrassed, but I always use this slide because many of our colleagues do not understand the power of agriculture and how research has enabled us to really produce and increase productivity. U.S. corn usage, and this is directly from the Corn Growers Report that was published in March of this year, and so these are some of the numbers you already are quite familiar with. The crop value was about $76+ billion. It's a huge number. It's about the same as chemical exports, as I'll mention later. Of that, corn itself is about one-third used for production of ethanol and biofuels, but of that, about one-third or about 13% is returned to its original use for feeding animals. Again, a number that is often not recognized, but is very important to realize that we add value by taking out the ethanol and then returning the edible part actually in a better state, a higher protein content for animal feeding. Also, if you look at the feed and the food that the corn provides, that's a large part of the overall markets. And then we also have high fructose corn syrup, a relatively small fraction, and other products, specialty products, that make up a huge value. So the value add from corn is quite significant and could grow as we apply biotechnology that's been developed over the years. Part of the credit for this increasing crop, of course, goes to companies that provide seeds with stack traits, with BP traits, herbicide resistant, and so forth. And these, in fact, have made the production of corn much more efficient. So basically, where does that leave us, or where does that take us? And really, the first step in utilizing the corn, in my viewpoint, is not growing it, harvesting it, storing it. These are very highly technical endeavors, but rather converting the starch in the corn to glucose. And then once we get glucose, we can do lots of things with it. And sugars are the starting feedstock. Corn is the source of the starch, and it is very clean, relatively speaking. and it is readily converted to glucose, which using either chemical or biochemical technology can give us a whole host of products. So one way to improve productivity and value is, for example, to use a new product. And this is a product from Moscoma Corporation, where there's a yeast now that is added to the corn fermentation that reduces the need for enzymes that break the starch down into sugar. And this diagram is one of a fermentation process I think many of you are familiar with that converts corn into ethanol. And all I would say is that with this new type of microorganism that is genetically modified and is being tested in the industry, the amount of enzyme required and therefore the cost of production is reduced. And as far as the technology that goes in there, it is a recombinant organism. So what this means, if we look at starch that is converted to ethanol, chemicals, or fuels, what we would need is enzymes to convert the starch to sugars and then a microorganism to ferment the sugars into these final products. And so as a consequence, a yeast that secretes the enzymes that are needed for converting the starch to the sugars, which are then fermented by the same yeast, in fact, fits a significant niche. And this indeed is now being proven for starch and also is being researched for converting cellulosic materials into ethanol and other products, although I won't cover that today. So once we have glucose, whether it's through new technology, through enzyme technology, there's some super new enzymes being developed by various companies. The glucose itself can then be converted into another product, which we call levulinic acid. Now, this differs from biochemical processing in that levulinic acid is obtained through catalysis, using acid catalysts, solid catalysts that are often used in the chemical industry. And so once we get glucose, which is on your left, and converted into levulinic, that's the molecule in the center, we can make precursors, monomers, for production of various chemical building blocks, polymers, herbicides, and other types of chemicals. And this significantly adds value to the starch. Although the market is small, the value is large. And so these are called platform chemicals. And the Department of Energy, together with the USDA, had done a study of approximately 5 years ago to look at the different chemicals that could be manufactured from sugars. And these include things like hydroxymethylfurfural, furfural, levulinic acid, and gamma-valerolactone. And these then can be made into hydrocarbon fuels, which is of interest, but also into chemical building blocks, which have a significant value-added component. And the catalytic conversion of these sugars via what we call aldehydes or organic acids and give us precursor molecules that then can be used by the chemical industry. However, to do this catalysis, which is being studied, for example, at the University of Wisconsin, at Purdue University, the University of Illinois, to do this conversion, we do need high concentrations of glucose. The glucose must be relatively pure, and it must be inexpensive. And so what comes to mind, in my opinion, is corn, which is even at $6 or $7 a bushel, for a point of view of a sugar source, is relatively inexpensive for a use such as this. So in order to achieve high glucose concentrations, what we have to do is pre-process the corn kernels into solid fractions. And they would be starch, separate out the germ in the form of oil, and then also the pericarp, which is the surrounding around the corn kernel. And if we can separate these by gravity and then get them in a concentrated form, separate them from the liquid, we should be able to make very concentrated sugars. As a matter of fact, recover oil efficiently and then also use enzyme science and technology to convert some of these sugars into some of these organic products that we describe. And so just to give an example from some of our work that we're doing under the support of the Indiana Corn Marketing Board, we took a look at untreated corn kernels. And we've been working, experimenting with this for quite some time when we came to the Indiana corn growers to see if they might be interested in further looking at this phenomenon. But if you look at an untreated kernel with with a tip, if you then mechanically remove that tip, which has a germ attached to it, and then use enzymes that basically hollow out the starch and delaminate it from the pericarp, what happens is after about 2 weeks, you get the picture at your right, which is pericarp, and the starch itself is removed as starch particles. Now, 2 weeks is a long time, and we're now improving the rate at which this occurs, but the whole idea here is the concept is without cooking, without grinding, with a very simple mechanical action, and the addition of enzymes that have been developed for carrying out cellulose conversion, actually, we can hollow out the corn kernel and recover the starch. And so, in fact, what happens is the germ, which contains the oil, floats, as you would expect, because it's got oil in it, right? And then at the bottom of the beaker, you can see the starch, which sinks. And there is some hydrolysis which occurs, and so the liquid itself can still be fermented to ethanol. But the starch now, which is relatively pure, can be separated by centrifugation or filtration, giving us a concentrated form without evaporation, which can then be converted into glucose and some of these other chemicals. And so instead of using reagent gate sugar that might be derived from, for instance, sugar cane, we can find ways of converting starch into these concentrated sugars for carrying out chemical conversions. There are other ways to make this type of sugar, including evaporation. I know Charles Abbas is here from ADM. They do a lot of wet milling. And I know some other corn refiners are here as well. But what happens here is this is quite compatible with the needs of the chemical catalysis that is carried out after the sugars are formed, because these catalysts themselves are very susceptible to contaminants that would deactivate them. And so using this sort of processing, it gets a sugar that is quite concentrated and relatively pure for purposes of chemical catalysis. Now, if we look a little bit further down the road, there's a paper that will be given by Nate Mosier tomorrow. We've actually studied the enzymes and found that there are certain organic molecules that are relatively inexpensive that have the same active site as enzymes that hydrolyze the starch to sugars. And these are called mimetics. And so in this case, we're taking a very large molecule, a protein, which is measured in terms of molecular weights in terms of 60,000, 100,000, thousands of Daltons, and replacing it with a small organic molecule, maleic acid, which in fact has the same type of active site, has selectivity, but is less expensive and can be used at higher temperatures, so the reaction rates are much faster. So again, there are other approaches that can be used once the principles, in fact, have been developed. So this then brings us to the concept of partnerships, and that would be partnerships with the chemical industry. Because if we're going to add value as corn growers, what we like to do is take a small portion of what we grow and, in fact, convert it into value-added products. And even though the volume is small, the value could be very high. It could be 10 times higher than the corn itself. The product itself is relatively compact, and so the shipping of it, in fact, is much easier to do. So just to give you some comparisons, the customer for this would be the chemical, what I call the chemical enterprise, chemical companies. And the chemical enterprise right now has exports on the order of about $87 billion. It's in 2011. Compare that to U.S. agriculture, the net is about $43 billion. So same magnitude of order. Something is, and of that, corn is actually the largest part. Last year, I believe, corn was 1.62 billion bushels were exported. And we could have exported more, but I think some of the ports couldn't exactly handle everything. So that's a little bit outside of my area. But anyhow, so really there's possible partnerships with the chemical industry. Like here in town, we have Dow AgroSciences. In St. Louis, we have Monsanto. I think one of the sponsors is also DuPont. And so as a consequence, we can discover new processes based on sugars, or we should say rediscover. A lot of this chemistry called sugar chemistry was actually first published in the 1940s and 1950s. Except now what we're doing is bringing a new type of technology, biotechnology and molecular interactions that we now understand much better to get a higher value product. And so we want to do research on the utilization of renewable resources, and this includes anything from how you harvest and store it, to mechanically process it into a state that's ready for biotechnology or enzyme conversion, to how it's produced into a form that can, in fact, be transformed into polymers or chemicals that we use daily. And also we need business models, and perhaps that's the toughest thing to do. And I've learned a lot in working with industry that business models often present the make-or-break situation once the technology is ready to go, the productivity is proven, and the economics appear to be right. The right business models here in the Midwest, in the U.S. and internationally will be very important. U.S. agriculture really designs and has grown crops. Productivity has gone up astronomically. Biotechnology has been applied. In 1996, there were no GMO crops. And since then, for instance, corn, I think it's 80% or 88% of the corn grown in the U.S. anyhow is, in fact, biotech corn. And it's also reduced inputs. It's reduced pesticides. Again, I don't think the public often realizes this, that it's really made things a lot better. So by continuing improvements in productivity, I think the food versus fuel argument is not necessarily one that would be affected by this, because the amount of starch one needs to have a huge impact in the chemical industry is relatively small. But the chemical industry itself still has to import petroleum from other parts of the world. And so as a consequence, there's a stabilizing influence that could be, in fact, considered here. And again, business models here require that this product be available year-round, and corn, in fact, is. So that's very important for chemical. And then last but not least, the industrial fermentation capacities, other than ethanol, for producing some of these chemicals need to be in place. And this is already the fact as well. So how does such new technology possibly, and there'll be posters about this and some presentations over the next 2 days, how do new technologies enhance margins? Basically, I did a rough calculation. You can read the fine print, but I tried to use internally consistent assumptions. The margin for, if you're going to make biofuel, the best case between the revenue and the cost of inputs, is cost of goods, so to speak, is about $4. Using that same amount of corn to make levulinic acid as a precursor for various chemicals, the margin is $83. And I'm not saying that that's the profit, but that's the margin one has to work with. The volume of corn that's used for biofuels, of course, is quite large. The volume that would be used for levulinic acid might be 10% of that. But nonetheless, the value of it is much higher. And that's just opens the door for using a small fraction of the starch we produce to add value, to make the corn more valuable both to the industry and to the farmers. So some of the economic synergies that I see with the chemical industry is that agriculture is a market from the chemical industry or from former chemical companies for seeds, fertilizers, pesticides, and herbicides. On the other hand, agriculture provides oil, right? Very important, by the way, chemical feedstock. Carbohydrates, which can be served as chemical feedstock, cellulosics, as well as fermentation substrates. And these can be used to make various types of alcohols, monomers that go into plastics, coatings, oils that are used for lubrication, various types of agents that are used in the production of textiles, in the production of paper. There's all sorts of things that can be done in order to, in fact, use corn for other higher value-added uses. What's important, however, is that the translation of science from discovery to the commercial scale requires sustained research and development. And I think this is a message that, of course, land-grant universities would like to convey. And it's not just the research and development for the sake of new discoveries, but it's also for educating scientists and engineers and people who will, in fact, be the future of agriculture. So I'd like to conclude this brief introduction to the meeting simply to say that new technology for value-added products from corn opens new doors. And the technology we're talking about are enzymes, microorganisms, and catalysts. A lot of them are actually derivatives of a lot of the significant research that's going on in cellulosic biomass and cellulosic biofuels. If we can utilize this biotechnology in new ways, one example we gave is by basically fractionating starch as starch particles from the corn kernel, there might be very new uses we can find and new ways of processing this that are more efficient, utilize less energy, and give us products that could be used for food, but also be used for the chemical industry, which has some very high requirements from the point of view of purity and chemical stability, et cetera. And the resources are really available to produce at different scales. We have the land, we have the seeds, and we have the productivity. And when we put everything together by, in fact, funding and pursuing fundamental research, not just for the laboratory's sake, but moving the research from the laboratory into industry, we will create, I believe, new markets for corn. And although the markets volume-wise may be small, we'll always want to have lots of corn for animal feed and other uses. The value could be very large and help to, in fact, support some of the new developments that we see coming in the area of corn. So with this, I'd like to thank you very much for giving me the honor to introduce this excellent conference. I've come a number of years, and I always learn an awful lot. And it's a very nice group and really is, in my opinion, a leader in the agricultural sector here in the Midwest in the U.S. So again, thank you very much.